There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Free agency starts Monday, 11 o'clock Central Time. Saints Happy Hour is going to preview what the Saints could do, might do, what we want them to do in our dreams. We got you covered. Thomas, hit that intro.
Welcome to the award-winning Saints Happy Hour podcast. Seriously, this podcast has won awards? American standards are dropping every day. The show features Ralph, the best host in the world, who can barely pronounce his own name, much less anyone else's.
Marquez Callaway.
Dave is that dude who loves taking bathroom breaks. He's mad about almost anything, so make sure to lower your volume when he speaks.
Put that freaking clown meme back up that I made.
Jesus Christ.
Andrew has sources, watches tapes, and knows football. He rarely shows up on time and wants to commit crimes to help the Saints win.
Sean Payton would have done illegal things. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know it's true.
Oh, and there's also Kevin, who is great at doing mock drafts, but struggles to actually watch Saints games or have a functioning relationship.
Butterich wants to know how the doctor's doing.
That ended.
Anyway, grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the insanity.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. Remember to rate us, review us, subscribe to Saints Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts. If you're catching us on YouTube, share the video, like us, subscribe to our channel. And if you're not a patron, go to saintshappyhour.com and become a patron. All right, Kevin.
Yes.
I'm excited. We got Thomas running the show back in Poland. I'm excited. I love NFL free agency. And we're going to do a preview episode. Free agency starts 11 o'clock Monday morning. If you are watching this beforehand, which I hope you do, because we're going to release it to make sure people can get it, absorb it, and get them ready for Saints free agency. I love free agency. It's really kind of strange now in that, quote unquote, the tampering window opens on Monday, but it doesn't officially start till Wednesday. But like before it starts on Wednesday, officially, like all the big names are going to be done. Like Monday, it'll just be like an avalanche of names. All your big names, your Kirk Cousins, whoever, will be signed. The Saints may or may not be involved on the first day, but they've done some stuff out of the gate on the first day. So for this preview, what me and Kevin tried to do, and I said, Kevin, let's try to figure out realistic options for the Saints or guys that we would want them to sign that could be a realistic, or maybe we can fit it under the cap. So what I did is I said, Kevin, let's pick three names that the Saints could sign, and it's got to be $30 million of they can't spend more than like $30 million of like annual contracts, because I think that's real, being realistic, because the Saints are going to kind of shop in that range. But I think it's hard, because Kevin and Andrew would tell you this, and you know this, like of all my prediction skills, the thing that I'm worst at is predicting free agent contracts. I'm either like way over or way under. So I'm terrible at it. So look, we predict these contracts. You may look at this thing Monday and be like, these contracts, they were ridiculous. They were completely wrong. And that's fine. But we're going to have some fun. And I got my three names and you got your three names. But
right,
what overall?
I want to say, let me jump in here. The text The text said,
here we go.
Sign 3 free agents, but total cost $30 million. You can use Spot Track for projected salary, but you can use Spot Track. So I went on Spot Track and I checked a bunch of guys by market value. That's right. What I was looking at, yep. Market value. There were guys that were getting paid. There was one guy that I was really interested in, and he was getting paid like $2.5 million. And then you click his market value, and it says his market value is really like 8 or something.
Yeah.
So I went with market value. Let's try and sign this guy for like 4 years, X number. Like, I don't do that. I did not do that. I literally was like, you gave me $30 million and told me to spend it.
That's right.
Right now.
Yeah, but I mean,
and so that's what I did.
$30 million would be like 3 $10 million players.
Right.
You know, 4 $7 million players. I mean, the thing is with the market is Sport Track and a guy, Brad Spielberger, I think, on PFF, he does a really good job. But the thing is, the market changes. And like, you look at Sport Track, I was thinking of the Saints signing a safety, for example. The safety market to me, it's been flooded. Buffalo cut both of their starting safeties. Denver cut Simmons. Seattle cut both of their starting safeties. So you have the Saints cut Marcus May. So you have all these available safeties, right, that are hitting the market. I think the safety market is going to be a buyer's delight. And like Tyrann Mathieu for the Saints, he just signed a new 2-year extension and he's going to make like $7 million. I think that is a great, I think safeties that are really good will be dying to get that. Like, I think there's going to be a bunch of teams that are going to sign safeties. You're going to be like, oh my God, they got him for $4 million. Like, I think the safety market's going to be crazy low, but on the other end, you'll have some things that are going to be high. Like, I saw Ezra Cleveland, who was a darling of Saints Discord, which Saints Happy Hour Discord, you should become a patron and get in the Discord. We're chatting about it. He was a darling of the Saints of our Discord at the trade deadline because the Saints needed offensive line help. They're like, hey, let's get a guard. And I was like, hey, he's all right, whatever. He got $9.5 million a year to re-sign from Jacksonville. And I was like, well, if he's getting that, I can't imagine what the top guys are going to get. So anyway, give me your first guy. And give me your first guy that you signed, and tell me why you signed him. And when you picked these guys, how much of the draft were you thinking about? Because I know you're our mock draft guy. How much did you think of the draft and be like, hey, I got to fill this in free agency because I've been doing mocks with the Saints and it kind of just doesn't work out in my favor to get this position in the draft. I don't want to roll the dice for the draft. I want to try to fill this need now. How much did that come into your thinking?
It was a big factor in what I was doing. That's a simple answer. slightly longer answer. So I thought that there are some positions that if you target certain positions in free agency, that means you can maybe wait a little bit in the draft. Mm-hmm. Or if you anticipate that certain positions are going to get picked up really fast, picked off really fast, and that by the time it comes back to you, especially if the Saints don't trade down, right. It's like you get 14, 45, and then you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and by the time you hit that 140, what is that spot? That 145 spot.
Yeah.
No, it's 149, sorry. By the time you hit 149... it's like most everything at that point is gone. That's why I always just keep hoping that they trade down.
It's like Black Friday. It's like being at the back of the line at the Best Buy back in like 1998 when you go to Black Friday.
Right.
You go into the TV aisle. They're giving away the $50 30-inch TV, but you in the back of the line, there ain't nothing left.
Well, nowadays it would be like you're looking to get that, you know, 72-inch Vizio or whatever, and then by the time you get up there, it's like, oh, we just have a 36-inch Magnavox or whatever the hell.
Magnavox
makes TVs. or a Panasonic. Sorry. There's my Simpsons reference of the day. So my first pick, and I'm guessing that Tomas has them in the order that I listed them in. So I've enjoyed drafting defensive ends in my mock draft.
Yes.
But my fear is that the good ones will be long gone
by 14,
and that the Saints are only going to be able to get depth.
Yeah.
Which they should, because again, look, I know they renegotiated or restructured Cam Jordan, but you know, he's on the downslope. Granderson is only going to be good for so long. Peyton, you know, you got Turner and Foskey or whatever, but
it's a hard, and listen, I know the guys you liked. Remember, I know it's like the darling tight end Theo Johnson, but me and you, when we had done a mock draft, you had talked about the guy from UCLA, the name I can't pronounce, and the Dallas Turner. They blew it up at the combine. So like,
right. So defensive end, we're signing free agent Ralph. You're going to enjoy this one.
Oh God,
you talked about him several years ago.
Oh no,
when he was coming out of college. You were so impressed with the game film. Oh, we were all impressed with the game film. He was blowing up offensive linemen left and right. He was, I think he was the first overall pick in the draft.
Oh my God.
That's true. And you were clamoring for this guy.
I was clamoring for, I know. I thought you were going to go with like a name I couldn't pronounce, but now I know where you're, I think I know where you're going. We're going where we did a live show because we thought the Saints had had him, but they didn't. Telling the people.
So, Jadeveon Clowney, come on home.
I love this.
His spot track market value is $7.2 million. And he's still fairly young. Let me look at his, the age there on him.
Thomas, were you with us when we did the live Saints Got Clowney podcast that ended up they didn't have Clowney? Were you with us then?
I don't remember. Which year was it?
It was 2020. It was 2020. I think it was 2020 or 2019.
I don't think so. I don't think so. No.
See, Kevin, I love this idea because this is great.
He's 31. Look, he's 31 years old. Yeah. He played all 17 games last year. He still had 10 sacks.
He like
last year. Like, come on, man.
Over 30. Having your best year as an edge rusher is bananas. Like that, like, you know, that would be, it's sort of like very Cam Jordan. Like maybe he's getting better as he gets older. But Thomas, if this happens, I'm going to task you with a very important job.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you go back in the archives and just find the We Got Clowney live podcast that we did. And we're just going to play it again and pretend.
It's new content, yeah.
It's new content.
Yeah, everything gets older. Use AI to replace, you know, certain words.
I love that. And Kevin, but this is a very astute point by you. And listen, the Saints have circled back around to guys that they really wanted and they pushed really hard for. They didn't get them the first time and then they sign them later. It doesn't always work out the way they want, but I'll give you a name that they pushed really, really, really hard to get this guy. He didn't. He went to Cleveland, kind of like Clowney in the situation. And then the Saints signed him like 2-3 years later. He was completely washed. Paul Kruger. The Saints offered him the moon and the stars, and he said no, and he went to the Browns. He was a washout with the Browns, and the Saints brought him in, and he was a washout with the Saints. So all I'm saying is, just because guys in the past, the Saints didn't get them, it's good to keep them on your mind. Josh, Jadeveon Clowney is a fantastic choice. And let me tell you something. If the Saints would get Clowney, whether it's Monday or next week, if they would get him, we'd be fired up. Because you'd be like, okay, you got a 10-sack guy, Granderson, Brissee, whatever's left to Cam Jordan. And then suddenly, Kevin, the world is your oyster at 14 for the draft. Because you feel a lot better about pass rush.
Yeah, I'm looking at sacks from last year. So Granderson had 8.5, DeMario 6.5, Brissee 4.5. Passanio, I keep wanting to call him Capsaicin. Passanio hit 3.5.
That's right.
I mean, so let's see. Defensive ends, so Grandy, 8.5 and 3. Like, even if Clowney even if Clowney went from 10 to 7.
That still
puts him ahead of a lot of other people on the team. It improves what the defensive, what the edge production is giving.
I know he does hate the Saints defensive coordinator. That could be a roadblock. Like, they didn't get along in Cleveland. So that's a problem.
Well,
but
he'll
he'll
be answering to Dennis Allen ultimately.
Man, it's like, yeah, that's right. And money cures all problems.
Right. Money cures all.
And listen, yeah.
Playing time cures all. And look, here's the other thing. If the team's winning, if the team actually
is winning,
jumps out of the gate hot and just sustains like good games, even if they're battling and like losing some, they'll be fine.
Yeah. I wonder though, here's my worry with, and again, here's my worry with the projected cost is a ton of teams have a ton of cap space. So I wonder if the Tennessees, the Washingtons, the New Englands might say to Clowney, hey, we'll give you 2 years, $25 million because we got to spend this money somewhere. Because remember, there's a lot of teams, you got to spend to the floor, right? You have to spend to the salary cap floor. So I worry that, like, we would say, hey, if the Saints signed him even if the Saints gave him 2 years, $20 million, right? And we'd be like, that's great. I just wonder if we're really, really, we're really pushing him low just because he was a monster.
Well, according to SpotTrack, he was making shit. I lost him. Hang on. He made $2.5 million.
Wow. Yeah.
Last year.
So I would, even him, I would go to, if you told me he could get you 7 sacks, the Saints paying $10 million for that would be worth it because they need a pass rush. So who's your second guy? Your first guy is amazing. Who's your second guy?
All right. Same mindset here with the draft. I'd been waiting a bit with wide receiver, and then sometimes I started considering going wide receiver higher in the draft. Like, I feel like the Saints need to get two. They need to get two wide outs.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So my thought process was Michael Thomas is gone. Leave the memories alone. Chris Olave is going to be the number one. You got Shaheed and Perry battling it out for the two and the, you know, it'll be toss up between who ends up being 2 and 3, but I still feel like somebody needs to come in and be the real two.
That's right.
Like, Shaheed is a great three. I don't know if he's ready to be a good two yet.
Yes, right.
Then you got Kirkwood and Lynn Bowden Jr. It's like, who knows with them? So you need somebody to replace Michael Thomas, and you need somebody else to come in and add the depth and possibly be good or quality.
That's right.
So I'm going to draft one guy. I'll draft a wide receiver, so that'll be taken care of. I was looking at the free agents who could replicate or do better than what Michael Thomas provided this past season. Now, let me pull him up here. Not Michael Thomas. Let me pull up the guy I'm looking for here on SpotTrack.
Yeah. And receiver is a great point while you pull it up. Because here's the thing, Kevin. The receiver for the Saints, it looks okay, right? Because you're like, maybe A.T. Perry can grow, Rashichi can grow, and they can be better. But, man, Chris Olave, he's had some concussion issues. He's not the biggest guy, right?
Yeah.
It's like, to me, it's if the Saints, if they're having a good season, and then they're suddenly like, hey, Olave's out for a month, and then it's A.T. Perry and Shaheed as your main two guys, it's kind of terrifying, you know, for me. So I think receiver is a sneaky big need, and it's interesting in the draft. So
so he's currently making 10.75. He made $10.75 million in 2023, but his market value is listed as $8.7 million.
Ooh, I like that.
And that's what I based it on.
Okay.
So $8.7 million. We're stealing one of Joe Burrow's targets.
Oh, wow.
We're getting Tyler Boyd.
Ooh.
From the Bengals. So let me grab him. Let me tell you what he did last year. So last year, played all 17 games, had 67 catches.
I love it.
667 yards. He only had two receiving touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's already better than what Michael Thomas did in 2023.
The touchdowns, though, are kind of like the Bitcoin market. It's up, it's down. It's not like touchdowns aren't
Right. I was just like, I'm getting somebody who was doing better numbers across the board.
I love that.
Like, I'm not saying that if the Saints got Tyler Boyd, that he would somehow become as great as Michael Thomas was at his apex. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying, Thomas in 2023, we need to do better than that.
That's right.
That's it.
So if you got Tyler Boyd, 65 catches in 2023 and 2024 for the Saints, and you got Clowney and you got 7 sacks, suddenly your offense is looking much better in the passing game. Your pass rush is looking better. Tyler, he's an interesting one. You know, when everybody talks Cincinnati, they think T. Higgins. It's interesting to see his market. It'll be really interesting. He's one of those guys. Might not be early, but it'll be like later in this week, next week, and then further down the line in free agency. Because Foster Moreau, he could be kind of that. I know it's not this Tyler Boyd would get more, but Foster Moreau could be kind of that guy, right? Where free agency's done. And then you see the tweet from Underhill or Albert Breer, whoever, they're like, oh, Tyler Boyd's visiting the Saints today. And we're like, oh, we need a receiver. We got to get him. I like that one.
He'll probably be worth more than $8.7 million, but I was just going by, again, rack.
I think that's about right. I think probably maybe three years. Like 3 years, $27 million with like $12 million guaranteed, so he'd get like $8 or $9 million guaranteed the first year, and then the second year would be.
I'm looking forward to after this is recorded and released. Juge is gonna, at 2 hours after it's released, Juge is gonna start text bombing us like, "What the hell were you idiots doing?"
Yeah,
Tyler Boyd just got. He's gonna get this.
He got $70 million. You douches.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing how Juju just absolutely obliterates
We were doing free agency previews, looking at SportTrack, figuring out contracts, trying to fit them under the cap. Juge is in Charlottesville beating the pants off of some 62-year-old woman playing tennis.
Yeah, wearing Oops, I Crap My Pants.
That's right. So
let's get to the third pick.
Let's go.
Third free agent. You mentioned the Jaguars earlier.
That's right.
I like the Jaguars They're a fun NFC team to root for. Let me go back and try and. Boy, fellas, you want to? There we go. Oh, not safety. The other one. Okay. Yes. Okay. So we're likely not going to have Marshawn Lattimore.
That's correct.
So
either before the probably if they trade him in this if they trade him it'll be in the summer, but you got to plan ahead.
Right. So that's one of those guys where it's like I'm drafting a corner in the draft. I'm also signing a veteran. We need bodies that can
That's
push
right.
everybody else around them. It's like, is Alante Taylor gonna take that next step and like ascend? I don't know. Isaac Yiadom was like hurt, so who knows if he's gonna hang around? Like we're not gonna wind up with I can't even pronounce this fella's name. Rejon White. I think maybe Rajon White is how you'd pronounce it. Rajon White and Fayon Hicks. Come on. Come on. They're not going to be on this team.
That's right.
But if they are on this team, probably bad. It's a bad sign.
That's right.
Bad sign for depth. So, me, I'm getting a guy, I'm getting a corner in the draft, and I'm getting a corner in free agency.
I like this.
So I went to Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm getting Darius Williams. Calculated market value is $12.8 million.
Ooh, that's pretty steep, but...
Well, look, you told me to stay under 30.
That's right.
I got a guy at 7.2 and 8.7. That's 15.9 plus 12.8. That puts you at 28.5.
That's fair. And listen...
No, 28.7.
Listen, we know, Kevin, for Saints free agent history... Sometimes in free agency, to start right out the gate, they do things and we're like, what? And I'll give you a name. It's not defense, but it's the same thing. Kobe Fleener. We were like, your defense is terrible. And you just gave Kobe Fleener 5 years, $35 million. Like, huh? And it didn't work out. So I'm just saying, sometimes the Saints' thinking is not quite in line with what we're thinking. And listen, if you're the Saints and you are pretty dang sure you're going to trade Lattimore for whatever in the summer, you could say, hey, we're probably going to trade Lattimore in the summer, so we need him. And remember, Adebo, he's going into his contract year. Maybe you want to pay him. Maybe he breaks out, whatever. But there's a world in which going into 2025, you don't have Lattimore. You don't have Adebo. You have Darius Williams, and suddenly I got Williams, I've got Taylor. Maybe you draft one, like you say, in the draft. So that's a move where long-term planning could come in. I think it would be hilarious because if the Saints gave him that kind of contract, like the three-year, like $36 million contract, people would be freaking out and being like, what are you doing at corner? But again, it makes sense.
So, and let me sell you on him too. So
yeah.
He's played all 17 games the last 2 years. He's had more snaps and higher snap percentage in his career this past year in 2023. He played 99.8% of snaps in this past season. Tackles.
Mm-hmm.
He had 2 forced fumbles last year, and he had 4 interceptions, which tied his career high.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
So the guy's going to get paid, but if he's available he'd make an immediate impact.
And here, there's a good value to me. And I know fans, we always want, we want all pros, we want great players at every position. But there's something to be said, and it's not the perfect comparison because everybody loves Honey Badger, right? He's local and all that. But that dude for the Saints, the last 2 years, like 99% of the plays he's played. Like, you know, Honey Badger, he's going to give you what he's going to give you, and he's going to be there every week. And I think there's just a comfort level with that. Whereas if, like, Dennis Allen, you had Williams and you traded Lattimore and you're like, hey, Williams is going to play 99% of the plays. And he's going to be pretty good. Like, that's value of and worth having. And you have really set the Saints up to really, I see what you're doing here, Kevin. You're setting the Saints up in free agency to get best player available. But all these moves you've made, you've set it up to where they really should consider trading down because you've filled so many needs. And we can finally get the trade down that we dream of. I like what you did here. This is a magical free agency. It's better than mine, I think.
Look, the Saints' top need is still offensive tackle.
That's right.
It's still offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Getting these three guys means now at pick 45, you have a ton of flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because before I was looking at edge and tackle and edge.
Yeah.
Some combination, you know, that. But if you pick up an edge guy in free agency, then that means maybe you can, if you trade down from 45, then you can wait and get him there. I mean, look, the edge defenders from 149 and back, it's like, who knows what you're going to get. Yeah. But at least you feel more comfortable knowing, hey, we signed a guy in free agency. Same thing with the wide receiver. Yeah. Same thing with the corner.
Yeah.
But it's imperative that the Saints get a tackle with one of those first two picks, preferably at 40, that's preferably right. at 14. Or if they trade back from there to the late first round, they got to get the tackle.
Yeah.
This at least gives you flexibility elsewhere, so you can absolutely hone in on getting that guy to anchor that offensive line and protect Derek Carr's goofy ass as long as possible.
Your pitch just now, Kevin, it flipped me around. See, when I first saw these names, I was like, oh, Kevin has set the draft so the Saints could possibly think about trading down. And it could be the draft of our dreams. But you just made the pitch, I'm going 180 degrees. I was thinking that, no, I'm petrified now. Because now what you've done, you've filled all their needs. And the Saints will say, oh, we need a tackle. So we're either getting a tackle at 14 or we're getting a tackle at 45. Or maybe we're picking at 14 and we're trading up from 45 to make sure we get a tackle higher up. So I was thinking trade down. No. You have me petrified now. The Saints will be totally focused and desperate to get a tackle, and they'll trade up. But my free agency, Kevin,
yes.
I've gone the opposite way of you. So Thomas, get to mine. So
really?
I looked at this two ways. I said in free agency, I got to fix offensive line and I got to fix the pass rush. Now, the big ticket pass rushers, the Chris Jones, Josh Allen got franchised. The big ticket pass rushers, the guy from Baltimore, his name I can't pronounce, you're not getting those. And I worry, I thought about Clowney, but I worry that, I just worry that his price range, like even though it said it on Sports Track, I worry that his price range is too much. So I got a guy that, like Clowney, the Saints explored bringing him in. It was kind of under the radar at the trade deadline. Everybody was talking about Hunter Renfrow, and it made news that the Saints got ghosted by the Raiders in the middle of trying to trade for Hunter Renfrow at the deadline because the Raiders were too busy firing Josh McDaniels and the general manager, who's now a consultant with the Saints, by the way. So they did that, Kevin, right? And everybody's like, they didn't get Hunter Renfrow. But another guy that they tried to trade for, Josh Uche of the Patriots, didn't get done, but he's a free agent now. The problem with Josh Uche, Kevin, is I have no idea of his market value. And Thomas, you can put his name up. Thomas, can you put the highlights up that I sent you, or is that too much? That's too much trouble because I'm a bad host and I give it to you too late.
Maybe too much trouble, honestly.
Yeah. So, but you can go to YouTube. You can go to YouTube and find him. He's silence. But here's the thing with
Josh. We don't want to get demonetized.
That's right. All right. Great point. We need to make those $6. So here's the thing with Josh Uche that's confusing to me, Kevin, is 2 years ago, he had double-digit sacks. And you know as well as I do, you have double-digit sacks and you hit free agency, he'd probably be like an $80 million player, right? Because he had 11 and a half sacks 2022. This past year, he wasn't as good. And he only had 5 sacks, right? So three. He had 11 and a half in 2022, this past. So his market value on SportTrack is 8.3. But I don't know how teams will view him. Will they view him as the double-digit sack guy? Will they view him as the 3-sack guy? Is it somewhere in the middle? The thing with him, he's not a defensive end. He's a linebacker. But here's my theory, Kevin, is Caden Ellis, when the Saints had no pass rush in 2022, right? They were like, we got to figure this out. They put Caden Ellis in, and they're like, we're going to blitz DeMario Davis, who's really good at blitzing. We're going to blitz Caden Ellis. We're going to confuse teams. We're going to blitz him in the guard, in the tackle, off the side. And it worked. And they had a top 5 in sacks, and it was great the second half of the year. And Caden Ellis left, went to Atlanta, didn't do as well with the Falcons. They had Zach Bond this year. He was okay. What if the Saints look at Josh Uche and are like, hey, we can get him, and he, instead of trying to patch this together and like do it with duct tape and figure out the pass, we can get Josh Uche, who's super fast, and we can supercharge our pass rush, not from defensive end, but from linebacker. And we can do all these fun stuff with the linebackers, with Damaro Davis and Uche, and that's how we're going to get our pass rush. And I like him. I think he's incredibly fast. I did my contract for him 2 years, $16 million, maybe even a little less. The hard thing for him, Kevin, is I don't know his market at all. And does he want a one-year deal? But the Saints could do the one-year deal, right, with the voidable years inside of the Easter egg, inside of the lunch pail. But I like Josh Uche. Saints have a tradition of trading with the Patriots, liking former Patriots, that sort of thing. So Josh Uche was my guy, my first choice. What do you think of my plan to try to fix the pass rush?
I like the sales pitch. That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking at it, I guess you're telling me that my immediate thought was, well, that'll probably keep Cam Jordan happy because he won't be threatened on playing time.
Yeah.
And so even if he is on the downslope, you don't want to, you know, he's still a glue guy, was a team captain last year, but he's still like the veteran on the team that like people look at and respect.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want to take that guy and replace him with somebody and have him ride on the bench or have him really split in time? But you know, I say that and I end
and
up
the thing is
going to do that anyway, but I can at least understand this perspective of no, the defensive ends we're fine with. Let's worry about pass rush with the linebackers.
Yeah. And it's trying to find value. The Saints aren't going to, spend at the top of the market. But like I said, I had $30 million to play with. So Josh Uche, I actually thought about it 2 years. I'm going to give myself 2 years, 14. So that gives me seven. So I got $23 million left to play with. The next one is a massive gamble. Like it's a guy that offensive line, Kevin, I have this feeling that teams are just going to throw around stupid money. We said all year, the Saints offensive line is terrible, but offensive lines in the NFL everywhere are terrible, right? So I think teams, guys that start, that are young, that have started for 2 and 3 years, they're going to get paid. Ezra Cleveland just got $9.5 million from the Jaguars. So it's hard. So I was looking, guys, I was looking at lists and I was watching Nick Underhill and he was scrolling down and I was doing Bill Barnwell and I found a guy, Yosh Nijman, the Packers. And he can play both tackle spots and he filled in when Bakhtiari for Green Bay. And Walker, their tackle, when they were both hurt, he filled in for them. He was his numbers are really, really good. Like his analytic numbers, PFF, his blocking and that sort of thing, pass blocking, it's really good. But he hadn't played. He hadn't played that much. So like, you know, he's a guy that like you are betting on him. You're betting on him on the come, right? And he's a guy that like, he's one of those guys in free agencies, the Saints or another team could be like, oh, remember when they paid the Nijman? They paid him $10 million a year and he ain't starting or he's hurt or he played for Green Bay and it was fine and now he's a disaster with the Saints. So like, he is a high risk, high reward. He's kind of like, who's the guy that was the center for the Saints on the Super Bowl team, Goodwin, who's friends with Andrew Jude. He was a guy, the Saints signed him from the Jets, and he was like a backup guy with the Jets, and the Saints are like, hey, we'll bring him as a backup. He's going to be he's going to be our center in waiting, like, and that sort of guy. Because you look at him in 2023, he only started one game. In 2022, he started 13 games. So he's kind of been shaky, but I'm going to say he's a guy, the Saints, Kevin, you sign him.
Yeah.
You sign him, and then suddenly Penning, if he's a disaster and a bust like he's tracking to be, I got Ninja. He can play there. Ramchek, his knee goes to pot, and he's donezo, right, when they retire in 2021. I got Nijman, right? So now I've filled one of my spots, and in the draft, I still got to get one, but I feel pretty good about it. Like, I just need either Ramchek or Penning. I just need one of them to hold up and be decent, and I'll plug Nijman wherever the other one is, or maybe I try to move Penning to guard. So I did $9 million for him, right? And that fixes my line. He'll be a great fun signing for Saints Twitter for content and enjoyment, just because 99% of us don't know his name and will freak out because you won't be able to find highlights of him. He only started one game. Like, people will lose their minds if the Saints pay him a decent amount, which is always fun, which I'm here for free agency. And if the Saints gave him like a stupid contract, it'd make the cap nerds mad. And I don't really care about the cap situation. Like, the Saints getting reckless and making the cap nerds mad is what I'm here for. So that would be enjoyable too. But what's your thoughts, Kevin, on like taking a risk in free and like paying a guy that like doesn't have much of a record? It's kind of spot duty and like rolling the dice there, because that's what I'm doing in this. You went for like sure things. I'm rolling the dice with a name that I'm struggling to pronounce. But I did it. It was fun.
Yeah, I don't have much of
an issue.
Yeah, I don't have much of an opinion on this. Like, it's, and I'm just gonna be honest. Like,
yeah, I mean,
like, and don't get me wrong, I'm pretty good at bullshitting, but I don't have much of an opinion.
Yeah, and
and so it's a guy to come in and add depth or to be a insurance policy for the tackle. Like, that, yeah, I understand. And that makes sense. You know, the money, it's like, is that the cost of doing business? Like, maybe Juge will come in here and say, that's utterly stupid what you were offering. Or maybe he'll say, that sounded reasonable. But it's like, if that's the cost of doing business and taking a chance on a guy who has to prove himself, yeah, or something, then sure.
Yeah,
I still am going to bang the drum of they need a tackle with one of those first two picks in the draft. How whatever order they, whatever numbers it ultimately ends up being, that tackle needs to be one of the first two.
Nijman. He's my hipster like art house choice for free agency for the Saints. But the trouble with offensive lineman, Kevin, is I'm going to give this example of a guy. He just signed a 3-year, $48 million contract extension with the Rams. Kevin Dotson, guard. They traded for him last summer from the Steelers. He was a starter for the Steelers, like just the guy. The Steelers were like, we drafted someone better than you. We'll trade. They traded him for like a 5th-round pick. And everybody on the Steelers Twitter that I follow was like, he's just a guy. He's never going to amount to anything, you know, whatever. And he had one good year, and he got $48 million, like 20-something million, like guaranteed, right? So, like, teams are desperate for offensive line, right? So, again, another one of these picks where, like Uche, I'm just kind of not feeling the market. But my third guy, Kevin, my third guy that I got, he is, and I will give full credit to the Saints Happy Hour Discord film nerd people. I love them. They're always like watching film, breaking it down. Bud Rich, Chris, a couple other, if I don't mention your name, I'm sorry. They're always like, I'm watching the film, and they're like, hey, we got to get a guy. Offensive line, you got to think of Kubiak system. You know, you got to be, can you run the Shanahan system? Can you run that block into the outside blocking scheme? We need somebody for that. The Jets cut him
So he's a free agent now. And it's concerning because the Jets offensive line was ass in 2023. So taking any Jet player and being like, we're going to take from the Jets and we're going to, and it's not Thomas Morstead. Any Jet that the Saints signed, it's not Thomas Morstead. It's a concern, Kevin. But.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I'm looking at the Jets and you're just talking like you're talking about offensive line. And I'm like, good God, you actually there's like four or five different possibilities that you could just tell me because the Jets entire offensive line is now seemingly up for free agency.
It is.
So
their offensive line
I have no idea what you could tell
bad.
Me.
So this would be kind of a Kubiak saying, hey, I need a guard. I need a guy who can know my scheme, the outside runs and that sort of thing. I need a guy. So Lakin Tomlinson, okay. The Jets. His cap hit was going to be like $8 to $10 million. I think the Saints could probably get him on a 1 or 2 year prove it deal. I said 2 years, $12 million. I think that's probably a little high. Like I think it probably comes in a little bit lower than that. But he's a guy again. If I got a potential tackle, if I got a guard, suddenly I feel really good about the offensive line.
I'll say this for him. He's played at minimum 95% of snaps.
That's, yes, right.
For the last 7 years.
That's right.
That's insanely durable.
That's right. And like, here's the thing. Like, for the Saints, I'm not going to get into an argument with the cap because we do that all the time. Like, we scream and yell at the cap nerds. But the one thing I will say with the Saints is the way they operate their cap more so than other teams. Because health, Kevin, you know, health in football, it's like this mystical thing that sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. But the way the Saints run their cap and build their roster, health is incredibly important because they have an older team. The way they finesse the cap, like when they bring in two or three guys this year in mid-range prices, they need them to be healthy. So to your point with the corner, Williamson, to my point with Tomlinson, like that was a big selling point to me is like, I need a guard that I can plug in and not worry about because Hurst, you know, getting banged up. Pete, we all know his issues with injuries. You got Ramchek, you know, all these injuries on the offensive line. I need a guy. I just want him to plug him in, Tomlinson, just be slightly above average and play 90%+ of the snaps. If I got that for $6 million, I'm happy. So is it
5 or 6? Let me take one more look at him. $5 or $6 million. He could take 5 or 6. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, and again, he's probably one of those guys.
You could probably work on giving him a low base.
Yeah.
And then just all these bonuses and stuff and make it work like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a guy that's like another guy that's free agency's been going for two and a half weeks.
Yeah.
And then you just get the alert. Oh, the Saints are referencing it and it's a 1 year deal. You know, he would remind me of a guy, not that they're not similar players. Cause like you said, Tomlinson has played a ton of snaps and been super durable, but he would be a guy like, remember Alex Okafor? The Saints just like signed him in like the middle of like, it was like after the draft and it was just like, oh, they're signing Alex Okafor one year, $2 million. And he's going to play in. Yeah. That's it. That's interesting. Like he could be a guy there. Like, I don't think Tomlinson's market is going to be strong at all until free agency settles, or maybe even he may be even a guy that is in the Clowney mold last year where their free agent market isn't great. The draft. And then they wait until the summer, and it's like, oh, you teams, I'm going to wait and see if teams have injuries,
And then they'll come calling to me because they'll be like, oh, we just lost a starting guard. Let's get Tomlinson. He's super durable. And maybe they are a little desperate and they bump up the price. So he could be a guy in the like, so that's, you know, he could be, he's not going to be a day one out the shoot guy, I don't think. Whereas your guy, William, the guy for Jacksonville, Williamson for you, and I think Nijman or Uche for me, those are going to happen in the probably the first week and a half of free agency if they happen for the Saints. But before we get out of here, Kevin, I want you to say, was there anything you thought about doing in free agency and you thought really long and hard and you were like, Ralph put these constraints on me. I can't do this, but
no.
You don't have a name.
I mean, no. I mean, to be honest, again, I was basing it off of $30 million, pick three guys. You know, like those tweets that are the 5x5 grid, like the $5, $4, 3, 2, 1, and it's like pick five players from each of these positions, and it just has to add up to this. And so I looked at it like that: pick three guys, $30 million and under. I had considered. I was looking at tackles for a minute, like. Almost literally a minute or two, and I just thought, nah, to hell with it. Draft. Like, draft. That's where I wanted the tackles to come from.
Yeah.
Which is why I guess I'm always looking to be like, why draft one when you can draft two? That's what a lot of my mocks end up being. Hell, the one I'm working on right now. As we're talking, I already got one tackle. I'm going to grab another one because that's what I do. I don't want to grab a tackle in free agency. I would rather invest in that and see what's what. Whereas there are certain players, I think there are certain positions that. I'm trying to think how to say this because I feel like my idea or concept could be right and maybe I'm executing it wrong.
Yeah.
Because I'm not as plugged in as somebody like Juge is. There are certain players or certain positions that are better suited as free agents and can immediately sign with a team and come in and make an impact versus guys you would draft.
That's right. So I get it. You're paying this free agency all this money, and like, is he a scheme fit? Can he get up to speed really quick in what we're doing?
Right.
And that matters when you're starting to give, you know, when you're paying a guy $10+ million a year. The one position, and you filled it, so I was happy that you filled it. The one position that I really struggled with was receiver. And I was like, I went second offensive lineman. I really struggled with receiver because, like we mentioned before, if they don't fill receiver, you're really got a lot of question marks and hopes and dreams behind Olave. So I was like, receiver, I thought about Josh Reynolds for the Lions. He was like 40 catches, 600 yards. And I know Hunter Renfro, again, he's not technically a free agent, but he's gonna be. So I didn't put him because I was like, well, he's not a free agent yet. I'm not gonna do it. But he's a guy the Saints tried to get. He's just a security blanket for Derek Carr, right? They have a relationship when they both played in Vegas. So he's a guy the Saints could get. You know, they tried to get Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Kansas City ended up overpaying him and he not coming to Saints. But I don't think the Saints really need him because he's just like a field stretcher with not great hands. But now you got Rashid Shaheed. He's your field stretcher. And when 2 years ago, when the Saints tried to get Scantling, they didn't know what they had right in Shaheed. So now I don't think Scantling is a guy. You know, so that was my one disappointment. I wish I would have filled receiver as Kevin just gets up and talks to his air conditioned guy. That was my one That was my one thing. Like, I worry about receiver because the last thing I want, I want is like we're in week 12 and I got to pick, you know, in our game prediction segment, when I got to pick names and I've run out of names and the Saints have all these receivers that they signed during the year that are playing because they've had injuries or guys aren't performing and they're desperate. And I'm picking a dude that's not even on the Saints roster now. And nobody has any idea who his name is. You wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup if he was wearing the name on his jersey. That's what I worry about in like November, December. If the Saints don't fill the veteran receiver need, because Kevin, I was just saying to Thomas, I really worry about receiver because I haven't filled with a veteran guy, and even if I go in the draft and get another guy, that's just another young maybe. It's AT, you got AT Perry, right. Rashid Shaheed, and a guy you drafted. It's just another maybe because you don't have a veteran. So I really think I don't say I messed up, but the more I think about it, I think you're right. I think receiver is more of a priority than I gave it. I think you were correct there. That's it. Is there anything? Well, go ahead.
No. Say what you were going to say.
I was just going to wrap it up with this. The other NFC South teams are going to be doing stuff, obviously, too. So my final question to you is, how will you feel about the NFC South if Kirk Cousins is a Falcon and Baker Mayfield is a Buck? Like, how will you feel about the South then?
Division is still winnable, but I'll say it now. We've said it this past season and it'll get brought up again if that's the case, but the Saints blew a golden opportunity to win the division this past season. They blew it. Like, we can get the Robert De Niro Copland audio, you know, with half the sandwich hanging out of his mouth, just screaming to Stallone, "You blew it!" You know, that. Cousins is obviously a better option for them. Baker, look, is he going to sign this big contract and then regress like a lot of players do? It's a question mark, but we've seen he can do just enough for them to win. And it's, again, it'll be a far more competitive division, but still winnable. Still winnable. I don't think the Saints are suddenly going to be 6-11 or anything like that. If they're 6-11 next year, that's for the best then, because by then Dennis Allen's gone,
up out of here,
shaken up, yada yada yada.
No, and
I don't think they're going to be 6-11.
And I think it'll be nice for the Saints to last year. The Saints were, I would say, the prohibitive betting favorite in the. It'll be nice because the moment Atlanta signs Kirk Cousins, and I believe they will, they're going to give him 3 years, $160 million. I think it's going to be fully guaranteed. Like they're going to pay, like the Atlanta's tired of not having a quarterback. They're going to pay Kirk Cousins. They're going to get it done. And Kirk Cousins,
he ain't 100 for 3 years.
I think they're going to give Kirk Cousins. I think the contract will be 4 years, $200 million, and the first 3 years will be guaranteed, and it'll be $125 million of it will be guaranteed. That's what I think it's going to be. I think Kirk Cousins is going to get a ridiculous contract because they need a quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, and when you need a quarterback, you got to go where the quarterbacks are available, and Kirk Cousins is the guy. It's like the Saints last year. It's like Derek Carr, he was the guy. Like, you going to do any better than him? No. Well, I don't want to pay him that, but that's what the market is. So I think Atlanta will get him, and they will go to the instant betting favorite in the NFC South, and it'll be nice for the Saints to be projected to finish probably third in the NFC South. It'll
now,
be nice.
I tell you what, you sign somebody to that kind of money, the guy he should have to walk from Marietta to downtown Atlanta. $200 million.
I think it's going to be 4 years, $200 million in the first.
I'll crawl from Marietta to Atlanta if you give me that money.
It's going to, and he's going to, I mean, Derek Carr got $100 million or 75 to $100 million guaranteed, and Kirk Cousins better than him. I'm just saying. Think of it. I mean, we'll be able to make, we'll laugh at the Falcons because they'll be, they get Kirk Cousins, they're in mediocre quarterback town. Just like the Saints, their house is just, instead of, and, you know, the Saints are in the two-bedroom house, the Saints are in the three-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath house. Kirk Cousins is the house down the street. It's the four-bedroom house with the two full baths.
It's the McMansion.
It's
the McMansion with that obnoxiously high arch.
That's right.
That's like 20 feet in the air. It does absolutely nothing. The porch is literally the size of this desk, and it's on one layer of brick. Every one of y'all knows the type of house I'm describing. Right. You can find them either on the North Shore, or you can find them if you drive out past New Orleans East, like you're going to the golf course. You know those houses, those obnoxious looking houses that cost like $5 million to build, but they ain't worth the money they're fucking they ain't worth the money that it was printed on.
That's right.
Whatever. That's right. McMansion shit. Welcome, Kirk Cousins. Enjoy your McMansion.
Quarterback town. Shadow, I don't know what it would call it. It'd be like Shadow Grove, mediocre quarterbackville. But that's we'll all be there in the NFC South. Every team, because you got Baker, you got Derek Carr, you got Kirk Cousins, and you got a midget in Bryce Young. It's beautiful.
It's like that Norm McDonald soundbite. All the stars are here.
That's right.
All the stars. We need to get that.
I miss Norm McDonald. He was the best.
I know.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for supporting the show. Without you guys, we can't make this happen. If you're not a patron, become a patron, because I can guarantee you, whatever the Saints do in free agency, breaking news, we cover it first. Patrons get that. So thanks to Kevin. Thanks to Thomas running the show back in Poland, as always. And guys, until next time, the bar is closed.